Luke 11:42, I'll read it to you. Jesus is basically ripping the scribes, the lawyers, and the Pharisees because they invited him over for dinner and they didn't wash before they eat. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, is like, he just rips them. He gives them six woes. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you. I mean, he just goes, woe, woe, woe. And when he comes to verse 42 in Luke 11, it says, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the, here you go, love of God. See, you're tithing. And you're doing all this stuff, all the rules, but you bypass justice and the love of God. And then he says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. See, it's a joint thing. It's like, don't bypass God's love and justice and then keep working. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense at all? Okay, John 14:15. I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I'm trying to really build about God's love. It says, if you love me, Jesus would say, keep my commandments. So you go like, well, how do I know, Raul, if I'm loving Jesus? Keep his commandments. Love him. What's his commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord, your God, with all your soul. This is the greatest commandment of all. And this to hang the law and the prophets. I've been in my heart, my mind, for months now. I pay attention to people. I really do. Although you talk to me, you go like, man, you're not paying attention to a word I'm saying. I do, I promise. And I like to zero in on people that have that year after year after year relationship with Jesus. And they have that joy. And I've been scratching my head. I'm like, sometimes I can get tired of works. I can get weary. It's a battle, right? What is with them? What's happening? You know what it is? It's simple. They love God first. They're in connection with their Father daily. They worship. They repent. They come to the table. They stay active in their relationship. They have not left that love. And I'm like, oh, there it is. That's what the source. It's not self-help. It's like the love of God is in them because they love God and God's love is upon us, right? And it's like, whoa, look at him go. That's how we want to be. That's how you and I have to be. We can't let works cloud. And on the other side, we can't just be like, oh, man, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I'm just going to sit on my couch and just plunge into grace. For by grace I'm saved, Ephesians 2:8-9. I'm just going to sit here. I'm saved by grace. No works. No, don't help. Don't do. No, just chill, right? It's all grace. Right. Faith without works is dead, James would tell you that. We don't take the grace of God. It's like, oh, how cool it is. I have it all to me. I'm not going to tell the world that they need help. I'm just going to chill on my couch and dive deep in God's grace. Great, do that. But let that grace that's been, and that love that's been shed upon you be a conduit for God's love to others that need him. Desperately need him, right? Think about it. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And then he says, verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Do you guys remember when you first got saved? I do. Let me tell you a little bit of what it was like. I got saved. It was crazy. I'm like, whoa, I'm really saved now. It was one of those moments when the Lord just deals with you. And you have that beyond a shadow of a doubt in your mind that you're saved and forgiven. You know, that feeling that all that weight is lifted off. All that guilt is chucked and is gone. And you're like, whoa, God loves me. You know that. Oh, I was at church 7 nights a week. Now you go like, what church do you go to? Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. They had a service every day. And, you know, I didn't care who the pastor was, although I did have my favorite guys. One of them, Pastor Chuck and John Corson. I liked them. I'm like, okay, that's a nice treat. But we'll deal with this guy, too. It's cool, right? And I just sat, and somebody, well, you're going to church. Who's going to speak? I'm like, I don't have a clue. I just know. I'm just going to go learn. They're going to teach the Bible. I was there for years. My friends would be like, dude, you go too much to church. I'm like, okay. You don't.
And those years were fundamental. I didn't.
Yeah, you should too, right? Honestly.
And I just pray with people, and I'm like, I couldn't get enough. I plowed through the entire Bible in like 8 months. You're like, you're a slow reader. Yes, I am. But I'm like, whoa. Wow. You know, I'll tell you a funny story in a minute. But that love, that first love. Dude, I used to like, I just said dude, by the way.
Pastor Bill's kind of a dude. Sorry.
It's like, I used to like drive and go like, Jesus is going to poke right through those clouds in a second. The rapture's coming. I mean, that was my expectation in my heart. It's like, whoa. And I remember a friend told me, he's like, dude, that's God's spirit in you, man. That's what you have that. Like, you were expecting him. You know, it's like, it was radical. Now, Rahul, you're saying it was cool. You're speaking in past tense. What about now? Where are you today? Right? Is that a fair question? I mean, it is. To me, it is. But remember, Jesus tells them, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Remember, what was it? When you had the first love. I got to go back to that church in Anaheim, California, where that guy said, if it was a January service, and he's like, anybody wants to give this year to Jesus, come out here. And I just went up there. I'm like, I want to give my life to Jesus in this year. And like, I'm not one to show much emotion, but I started weeping like a baby. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. Everybody's going to see that I was crying. But I just had that feeling. I have to go back to that place. That little, I remember exactly the carpet and everything. It's like, I gotta go back to that. Oh, it was warm. It was good. It was peaceful. See, that hasn't changed. That love is still there. God is the same one yesterday, today, and forever. It's up to me to tap into that love daily. When I'm worn out, Jesus is telling this church, remember what it was like. Repent, confess, come clean. Confess your sins. Tell Jesus, it's not where I used to be. And then he says, and do the first works. Do the first works, he says. Right around that time when I was going to church 7 times a week, I bought my first car. It was a beater. Every wheel in that car was different. It was awful. It's like 21 years old driving this beater. It had a messed up spot in the back. It was a Honda Accord. When I bought it, it had 192,000 miles. Man, that thing went 0 to 60 in a day and a half. Man, it was embarrassing. Every time the gears are like, tong. You know what I'm talking about? When you have that car that switches gears, like, tong. And you go like, whoa, is it a stick shift? No, it's automatic. I'm tricking you. And I was driving that beater, and I had that little radio in the car, and I thought I had like this massive sound system. And I used to blast that thing where you can even understand what the words are saying, because I was just joyful noise unto the Lord. And a true story, I was there on the 55 freeway headed south. If you're from California, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm singing this worship song, and I don't know why, but I closed my eyes as I was driving. And in California, there's traffic every second of the day. I rear-ended somebody. Oh, it was a smash. I totaled my car. It was like my hood was. I destroyed it. It was so embarrassing. I get out. It was a great story. It's a great story. I get out. The lady is not her car. She doesn't have a license, and is not insured. Yeah, great. So anyway, I said go. Her car was fine. Mine was. So, I don't know why I told you that story, but that was what I was like. I was just singing in the car. I smashed the car. Don't smash the car. Now, I've learned since. I don't close my eyes anymore in the car. I still listen. So, if you're ever with me or I'm driving your kids to an event, you go like, Raul is going to close his eyes. No. I've learned. But that's what it was like. And, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes in my car, that's what happens. It's like, I'm just going to blast some worship music. I'm going to turn my commute to work once again into a worship service. I'm going to turn off the news that get you all worked up and everything that's happening. I mean, seriously, you turn on the news, whatever channel, if you don't get worked up, something's not right with you. I mean, it's all negative stuff. And if somebody does something right, then they find something wrong about what they did right. It's like, nobody can catch a break, right? Oh, they cleaned the street. Oh, yeah, they also delayed the traffic. You know what I mean? Oh, they cleaned the park. Yeah, they didn't pick up their... Seriously, there's nothing positive. Everything's... Right? Turn off the news. Turn on a podcast, Bible study, some worship music. Go back to your first works, whatever that comes to mind right now. Remember where that was and go back to it if that's you. But Jesus is telling this church, go back where you were at. Now, in Ephesians, the same church, 3, I'll read it to you, 17 through 19, says that Christ may dwell in your heart. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, here you go, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the same church, guys, that Jesus is talking to right now in Revelation 2. That you may know this. Vastness of God's love, that you may be filled with all hope and all the fullness of God, that you may tap into it, that you may just dig in. It's like, whoa, God's love is in me. You see now where I'm coming from with the song that Jesse was singing? I was like, consume me for I come, pour on us. That's what we need. That's what this world needs. You were here last Sunday. You heard Pastor Bill sharing about that dude that wrote that book, and he's no longer a Christian. Seriously, bro? And then that other worship leader said, oh, my faith. You know, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have the Bible, you can get pretty messed up on that one. But look what Jesus said. Matthew 24. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We're not seeing anything that hasn't already been spoken by the Lord. This is Matthew 24 talking about the end times. Because the lawlessness, the hard love of many will grow cold. Can I encourage you? Don't be the many in Jesus' name. Don't let your love grow cold. We're seeing it. In Jesus' name, don't. Don't go there for a second. Love. Our love for God has to be, needs to be, our driving force as we serve Him. Has to be. I believe that the church, I'm not talking about this church particularly, the church of Jesus needs to fall in love with Jesus all over again. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. Because without love, we are nothing. Really. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, 13:1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have no love, not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, Paul would say, all those works, without love, they're nothing. And you cannot do it in love unless you're tapped into the very source of love, Jesus. Does that make sense? Pastor Bill, we were talking on Friday, and he said something. I'm like, Pastor Bill, I'm going to steal that. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, go ahead. He's like, you cannot love the one that you're not following. Cool, Pastor Bill. That's a good one. I'm like, ooh, I'll take that one. He's like, go ahead. Steal it. Yeah. How can you love somebody you're not following with Jesus? You can't. You can't. Love needs to be our driving force. So it says,
remember, therefore, verse 5,
for where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Remember, the lampstand was the church, unless you repent.
Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Again, more works. The Nicolaitans were people rulers, people that just wanted to rule people. He's like, I hate that too. Again, more works.
And it says, verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church.
See, somebody will come and say, well, Raul, that was to the church of Ephesus. Why are you talking about that?
See verse 7? He who has an ear, let him hear.
I have two. Okay? I can hear, thankfully.
Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church.
I work for a company that has gas stations. And one of our stations, all of a sudden, this one pump, you know the nozzle thing?
Okay.
It wasn't working. And we called the tech, spent 2 days, 16 hours or something like that, a lot of money. He tore everything apart, and he could not find the reason why that pump wouldn't work.
We're like, huh.
So me being myself, I go like, well, I'm going to figure it out. I got my tools with my coworker. We started tearing everything apart. Like, spent 4 days. And it will work and it will stop. Working. Oh, and it was so frustrating. Put it all back together. So about the fourth day, my coworker, he's like, well, maybe we should check the filter. I'm like, there's a filter? Yeah, it's a filter right there. I'm like, when were you going to tell me there's a filter? There's no flow coming through the nozzle. So with all the grace left in my tank that day, I walked over to the filter. Nice little enclosure filter. And we opened it up, and all this gunk comes out. I'm like, huh, we found it. Oh, man. So we started getting all this gunk out. So the filter was doing its job. It's basically catching everything before it goes into a truck, right? So we don't, right? Okay. So we empty the filter. And we put everything back together. And it breaks again. I'm like, check the filter. The filter is dirty again. Ah, check the tank. See, I'm sorry I'm boring you with this story, but gas tanks, they're underground and they're a cylinder.
Candle Coke, okay?
And over years, it's about 25 years that tank has been there, you know, sludge and debris from dirt and water and rain builds up on the bottom. Now, the vacuum pump that sucks up sits on top. It doesn't sit flush, so it sits on top. So if you have all that buildup for 20 years, 30 years, build, it will come to a point where the motor starts sucking up that gunk. That's what. All the sludge, all the gunk finally reached the point where the motor was soaking it up. And then it was going through the filter. It was messing everything up. So we got a company come and hook up all these machines, and they haul that junk away. Okay, Raul, great story. What does that have to do with my Bible study? I'll tell you right now. Gunk can build up. If untreated, undealt with, gunk can build up. And the flow, the connection to God's love can go short, small. And it goes from a high flow power, 7 days a week at church, crashing cars in the name of Jesus, to
let's go to church. Here's my Bible. Boo-hoo, that's my chair. Too loud, too short, too long, too bright, too dark, too hot, too cold.
Man, we need to come and get that sludge out of there. We need to go back. Clean that junk out. Get rid of it. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts, in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. It's there, guys. It hasn't changed. One thing that I learned while I was tearing all this stuff apart is whenever we will turn on the motor, the pressure that will come is like, boom, the pipes were like super tight. I'm like, oh my goodness, look all this force behind here. We just, once we clear this gunk, the flow is going to be, and it's like God's love. It's just there. It's this powerful force. It's just there. It's like, it's just being obstructed by our own gunk and sin that goes unchecked, unrepented, or flat out you just get so used to it. It's time to clean it all out. It's time to get rid of it. And let that flow start again. David, Psalm 51, after he sinned with Bathsheba, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Is that you today? Is that me? Do we need to go back to that? We need God's vacuum to come and suck it all up, haul it all away, restore that joy. Because I'm telling you, if when you listen to the study that Pastor Bill shared on Wednesday and you see where we're headed, my goodness, God's love in you and me is the only source that's going to get us to do what he wants us to do. For this community, for the people, for whatever it is that the Lord will do. You want to be sharp. You want to be on point. You want to be in God's love. Sludge has got to go. Get rid of it. And I'm almost done, I promise. But here's my last example. Works. And love. Mary, there in Luke 10:38, you know the story. Martha's cooking, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. And it says, I read it, says that Martha was distracted with much serving. Distractions. Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet. She said, Lord, don't you not care? She's not helping. He said, oh, Martha, Martha, right? Twice. You're busy with much work. She's chosen the better. Right now, it's time to love me. The same Mary in John 12:1-3, when they were having that meeting with the disciples, and Lazarus was there, she comes in with a flask and pours it on Jesus. And she gets judged by Judas. Remember that story? You guys see in the parallel here? She loved first, and then she worked. She was just sitting at Jesus' feet. And now it's time to work for the Lord. Did that make sense? Amen. We cannot fake it till we make it. You cannot fake it till you make it. I cannot fake it. We have to tap into that source and get back up where we used to be. Can I be really, really sincere right now with you? I've been walking with Jesus 18 and a half years. And I can tell you, it hasn't all been that bliss. You go like, Raul, you said 7 nights a week. I only see you here Wednesdays and Sundays. Where's your first love? You know, in 18 years, if you've been walking with Jesus, you know what I'm talking about for a while. Sometimes you hit those seasons that you just go like, you're worn out. You let distractions. Unanswered prayers go by, and you go, why? And that's just one little bit.